Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. It's time to review this week's broadband news. Let's get into it. We'll start this week with the BEAD program, where two state stories showed how different the program can look once planning turns into awards, agreements, and hopefully eventually construction. In Oregon, the state broadband office announced preliminary replacement awardees for BEAD projects that had been declined by some of the original winners. Four original awardees walked away from 15 projects before the June 10th acceptance deadline. Those declined projects covered 13,381 broadband serviceable locations and represented about $122.9 million in requested grant funding. That development connected directly to one of the stories we talked about in last week's podcast, when we talked about Astound's decision to decline BEAD awards in Oregon and Texas after the company said that the awards it received didn't create the contiguous network path it had planned. This week, Oregon's replacement process moved the story forward. Two rounds of competitive reassignment produced six replacement providers: Alerica, Amazon Leo, the City of Sherwood, Columbia County, Douglas Fastnet, and Stimulus Technologies. Four of those six were both initial awardees and reassigned awardees. Oregon's original BEAD allocation was $689 million, and the state framed the reassignment as a sign of resilience in the implementation process. South Carolina also reported on its BEAD progress, but with a much smaller final BEAD footprint than many might have expected. The South Carolina Broadband Office said half of the 16 original projects in its BEAD final proposal were funded with existing non-BEAD resources. The state now plans to issue about $35.8 million in BEAD awards to cover a little over 19,000 broadband serviceable locations. Four of the eight remaining BEAD agreements have already been signed, with construction expected to begin soon. Those signed agreements were for projects from Zytel, TrueVista, AT&T, and Comcast. The full set of eight approved BEAD projects included fiber, HFC, and low-Earth orbit satellite broadband, including both Amazon and Starlink. South Carolina Broadband Office Director Jim Stritzinger marked the office's five-year anniversary by saying the state had minimized the need for BEAD funds through earlier state and federal programs, which is consistent with what he said when we spoke with him, and he told us that BEAD was not the whole race, but he saw it as the final leg in a relay race that also included CARES Act funding, ReConnect, RDOF, and ARPA. Broadband funding was also in the news on the state level in both New Mexico and California. In New Mexico, Kit Carson Electric Cooperative won a $100,000 planning grant from the Office of Broadband Access and Expansion's Grant Writing, Engineering, and Planning Program. The money will help the cooperative evaluate broadband needs in Hernandez, Chemita, and Alcalde, three unincorporated communities in the Rio Arriba County just north of Espanola. Kit Carson plans to use the award to complete a broadband engineering, network feasibility, and availability study, including identifying any broadband service gaps. This was the cooperative's second grant through this same program. To date, New Mexico has awarded 40 of these planning grants to tribal communities, local governments, and rural electric and telephone cooperatives. In California, regulators approved nearly $53 million in grants through the California Advanced Services Fund. Most of that money is going to two tribal-led broadband projects in San Diego County, with additional support for rural projects in Humboldt, Inyo, and Siskiyou counties. Altogether, the four projects are expected to bring high-speed broadband to more than 1,000 previously unserved rural and tribal locations. The two largest awards went to the Ipe Nation of Santa Isabel and the Pauma Band of Luiseno Indians. Both tribes will own and operate their networks through newly formed tribal internet service providers, and both will connect to California's statewide open-access middle-mile network. The remaining awards went to Stimulus Technologies of California, we talked about them during the Oregon BEAD story, and the Siskiyou Telephone Company. Several funded projects serve communities in or near high fire threat areas, which officials said would help improve emergency communications. Next, let's turn from funding to one of the issues that can determine whether funded projects actually get built in the first place: pole attachments. Comcast filed a complaint with the FCC's Enforcement Bureau claiming that Appalachian Power Company, or APCO, isn't complying with the FCC's pole attachment pricing order in Virginia. The dispute was tied to a $126 million BEAD grant to Comcast, which was intended to bring broadband to roughly 13,000 unserved and underserved locations in the Commonwealth. Comcast needs access to APCO poles to complete the work. Some of those poles had safety violations that had to be remediated. Comcast said APCO had been charging new attachers a minimum of 20% of the total replacement cost of a new pole, even after the FCC moved to a new cost-sharing framework. Comcast argued that the new attachers should only pay the incremental cost of deploying a pole that was high enough and strong enough to eliminate the violation. The filing asked for several remedies, including a declaration that APCO's 20% minimum apology was unjust and unreasonable. They also asked for refunds and adoption of the FCC's reimbursement framework. Now to a couple of service provider moves. First, Vero Fiber Networks completed its acquisition of Velocity Fiber, a provider serving the K-12 E-rate market across four states. Vero said the deal expanded its footprint in what it described as a foundational vertical. The company was founded to serve the K-12 market, and it now serves wholesale, technology, enterprise, and retail internet customers across 27 states and more than 370 markets. Vero said the two companies had compatible infrastructure models and that it could integrate Velocity Fiber's private fiber networks without disrupting existing service. The transition of network management is already underway. The deal continues a broader acquisition pattern for Vero, which had expanded through other deals in recent years. I also interviewed Wright Fiber CEO Heath Simpson last week about the recently announced combination of Ritter Communications and Great Plains Communications, both of which are owned by Grain Management and will be joined together under a merged company now called Wright Fiber. Simpson said scale matters in the broadband business and that combining two 100-plus-year-old companies will help the new organization bring best practices across complementary geographies. The new company, Wright Fiber, is still in its planning stages, and there are regulatory steps ahead to make the merger complete, but their current plans include expanding Ritter's 7 gigabit speeds and Great Plains' whole home Wi-Fi service across what will now be a 20-state footprint. Simpson and I also talked a fair amount about branding. Simpson said Wright Fiber needs to signal growth while still sounding local, which isn't always easy when a company expands across a large region. He said the company's new name, Wright Fiber, is meant to communicate the right people, the right products, the right price, and the idea that the company is right there in the community. And now a report. Last week, Ookla released a report asking whether 5G networks are ready for AI applications. Its answer, at least for the US, was not yet. Ookla used 2025 speed test intelligence data to evaluate 86 mobile operators across 22 markets. The report argued that download speed alone no longer predicts whether a mobile network can handle AI traffic. Instead, Ookla looked at upload capacity, latency under load, and connection quality between 5G networks and cloud AI platforms. The US missed Ookla's latency threshold for text-based AI, recording 50.5 milliseconds where the threshold was under 50. Upload capacity was a bigger weak spot. The U.S. ranked last among the 22 studied markets in the share of network throughput allocated to uploads at just 5.1%. The main takeaway is that AI traffic is more upstream heavy than many earlier mobile use cases. Conversational AI, AI agents, and cloud-connected applications push more information back up to the network and cloud platforms, which means 5G providers may need to talk less about download speeds alone and more about latency, upload capacity, and performance under load. Finally, Amazon Leo deployed 29 more satellites and announced that service rollout is expected later this year. Their update also said they've completed 14 missions and launched more than 375 satellites. They plan to accelerate their launch rate with more than 100 satellite launches booked for the future. The Amazon Leo story also connects back to BEAD, of course. South Carolina included both Amazon and Starlink in its award list, and Amazon Leo was one of the reassigned awardees for Oregon's BEAD program. Even though Amazon hasn't publicly launched service, it won big BEAD awards in many states, which is something. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we talked about today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next time.